she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my good morning. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Your hosts, David Blessingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Morning.
Colby Sepp.
Hello.
And me, Sybil Summers. It always makes my Saturday morning. I get off to a good start when I see David dancing in the studio. Love it. Our phone number here, 877-881-1053. You can also send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And you can call Autoflex, and you should, because there's a pre-owned car sale going on right now. What are those numbers, David?
They're either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234 if you're listening on the internet. And, of course, autoflex.com, and that's where you can see some of those great pre-owned cars, but not all of them. We sell them so darn fast that they roll through. They do, and so the pictures lag about a day to 2 days, and so what you see may be there or may not be there. You just got to check.
And every now and then a car gets sold before it ever makes it to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of my specialists told me last night that he traded for a car that will be perfect for one of our previous clients that was asking about a car. That car will be gone before Monday. It'll be sold today.
You got to act quick
if
you see a car you like. Or if you don't want to get out of the house, it's yucky weather today.
Did the lights just flicker in here, or am I having a stroke?
I hope you're not having a stroke.
It seemed like they flickered.
I didn't notice it. Did
they
flicker?
I think you blinked a little too long.
I'm concerned. I'm very concerned.
Okay, do we need to call somebody?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet, but if I start smelling burned toast, I'll let you know.
No.
We did trade for a 2013 Honda Accord last night, a Honda Accord LX 2013. So
amazing. I was wondering why. What's wrong with the car? But it turns out that
he wanted a pickup.
He wanted a truck, and there's such a good deal on new trucks right now.
Yeah.
So big rebates, and with our lease program, he was able to drive that truck for a similar payment?
Yeah, he got the truck for a similar payment as the brand new Accord, and it's a brand new Chevrolet pickup truck. So even though the Accord lost some value, it didn't lose much. It's a used 2013.
Right.
But pickup trucks, there is so much money back on several of the pickup trucks right now that if you're upside down in your car, which he clearly was in that 13, you can trade out and really, really not feel the impact of your negative amortization or how much you owe on the car.
Mm-hmm. So I had an issue happen to me, and I need some advice from you guys since you're the car experts.
I've always got an opinion.
I need one. So I got my car through Autoflex over a year ago, and it is a 2011 Lexus IS250. So it's got one of those engines where you don't need keys. You have to have the key on you, but you don't actually insert a key into the ignition.
It's a little push start.
Push start. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I went to a restaurant Thursday night. And I gave my keys to the valet guy. I said, they're in the cup holder whenever we pulled up.
You gave him the whole set. You didn't take it apart.
No, I didn't take it apart. Gave him the whole set. And when he brings the car back around, he hands me just the metal part of the keys.
Yep.
And he's got the electric part that would essentially start the car. Actually, he didn't even pull it around. He said, I can't pull your car around because I don't have the electric part of your keychain. And I said, well, it was on the key fob when I gave it to you. And he said, no, it wasn't. I was like, okay, how did I drive up here if it wasn't on the key fob? I've never taken it apart, not one single time since I've had that car in over a year. How now would it suddenly have come apart? So we get out. Thankfully, Richie was with me, and he had driven that day, so he had a set of keys to my car.
Right. Great.
Thankfully, because otherwise we would have had to pay an $80 cab ride to get home and then drive back to get the car. So the valet guy, we get a flashlight out, we're searching, we trace his line to find out where the key could have gone. It's completely gone. So he's like, well, here's my card, you can call tomorrow. I don't think we have it, but if we do, you know, we can pay for it in this sort of thing, in this sort of circumstance. So I called and left a message. I haven't heard back yet. But don't you think that's on them to pay for?
Yes,
yes I do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of things. If you have your regular key, is there no place to put that key to start that car?
I have to look it up in the
owner's manual. Open. I know that. You can use it to open the door.
Mm-hmm. I know when the battery goes dead, there is another way to do it, but I cannot recall if there is an alternative. I think you have to have the whole kit and caboodle start.
Mm-hmm. As you know, that key section comes apart. I normally hand the valet just the electronic
part. That's what I should have done.
Yeah.
But that's the part he still would have lost.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But you do it because you don't want to give him all of your house. And
right. And the other thing is that if they attach a tag to the little piece on the little loop, on the key, on the electric key, then that it's tagged and you get it back that way.
Right.
But what happened was they attached the loop to the ring, and the electric part fell off.
Yes.
You have to release it, but somebody obviously did. Or they may have given it to the wrong driver.
And that's what I said. I said, was there another Lexus up here tonight, perhaps? And maybe you switched our keys somehow?
Yeah.
And they actually didn't have the electric part, but now they have my electric part. And he's like, nope, you're the only one all night, which I highly doubt.
I sort of highly doubt that, too.
Yeah. It's a very common car. So I'll let you know how that goes, but...
Okay, Autoflex Leasing fan texters are already on the job. Hey, guys, can you help? I want to get my wife a 2013 Nissan Rogue, but my three credit scores are 615, 633, 645. Income is $70,000 a year. Would I be able to get one? What problems would I have? None.
We can get you one.
You can get one. Yeah, call one of the offices. I can't tell... He's a 214. Yeah, call the 972-234-1234, and we will be able to help you get into those. Those credit scores are fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your credit's good with us. Call us.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some of the news going on. Tesla, for one, the electric car manufacturer?
Yeah, it's the car manufacturer that's owned by Elon Musk, and Elon Musk is a guy that started PayPal.
And when
he sold it, he became a billionaire. And he decided he wanted to build electric cars. And as far as the quality of the electric car, he's probably got the best one out there. They're $100,000 for the most part.
No fires.
But they don't burn. Yeah. So, and they're fast and they're great cars and they're supposed to drive well and all that neat stuff. But
they're
anyway.
They're cool looking.
They're very cool. I saw one while I was in Washington, D.C. And the thing that surprised me is they're very small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen one on TV and it looked small compared to the other cars.
Well, in the pictures that you see, when they always show one sitting all by itself with a background of some sort, and you can't tell how small the car is. It's a little car.
They're
but
small.
Anyway, here's the deal. In the United States, we have franchise laws that protect franchisees and the public from price fixation and market control. Years ago, the government decided that General Motors shouldn't sell their own cars. Because if they did, given the scope of the company, or Ford, or manufacturer, don't want to pick on GM, any manufacturer, shouldn't sell their own cars because they could fix prices. And they could just raise the prices nationwide all at once, and no one could do anything about it. It gave them tremendous control of the market. So they decided that what they should do is have a franchise system, which means that Billy Bob owns his Ford dealership. And he buys cars from Ford Manufacturing Company, and he sells those cars, but he's an independent businessman, and he's not owned by Ford. Mm-hmm. And that was done to protect the public. It was not done to protect the manufacturers, because I can tell you they would love to sell their own product, because then they could control the market a lot better. Well, there's a judge in Massachusetts, a judge named Fishman, that has decided that all of that is thrown out the window. And he has given Tesla the ability to sell the cars that they manufacture from their own retail sites. Now, a couple of things. Number one, it could change the way cars are marketed all over the United States. At one point in time, Ford tried to open some Ford-owned stores, and they were closed down by the state. All of the franchise laws are based on state law. And when Ford tried to open their points and sell their own cars, the state shut them down because the franchise laws are very clear. You have to have a franchisee, and you have a manufacturer that sells some cars. But Judge Fishman in Massachusetts has decided we can throw all that out the window, and Tesla can sell their own cars. So in Natick, Massachusetts, they have a store open, a Tesla store, and of course the Dealers Association there in the state of Massachusetts sued them because it violates the law.
Mm-hmm.
But what violates the law is not necessarily what violates the law when you have a judge that rules against the law, so which happens. So the judge has now ruled that they can own their own store. So Tesla is open and selling cars. They're the only manufacturer in the world that is selling their own cars out of their own store in Natick, Massachusetts. And guess what? They're opening a second store there. Now, I'm going to ask you, how many Tesla stores do you need in Natick, Massachusetts?
That's a good question.
But it's the only place they could get a favorable ruling from a judge.
Do you think they lined his pockets?
I don't think so.
No one from in his family is going to benefit from this.
No, I don't. I don't really think so. I think that they found a judge that would rule the way they wanted to. And they probably had to go through a number of judges to find him. And once they did, then they're going to make hay while the sun shines. But the big impact is what it does to the American car industry, because if you throw the franchise laws out, then you've got GM owning GM stores, Ford owning Ford stores. You have no more franchisees. You don't have guys that own the stores and sell the cars. The manufacturers do, and they have tremendous control over the market, which, again, is probably what Elon Musk wants, is tremendous control over the selling price of his car. And if he's the one that gets to decide what all his cars are sold for, he's got that control. Mm-hmm. It's a really big thing for the automotive market. It's huge.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it.
What do you all think about it?
Fan text
fan
us.
Listeners, fan texters.
AutoFlex Leasing fan text us at 43733 and let us know. We do have some AutoFlex Leasing fan texters coming in. I was talking about losing my key fob, the electric part. Somebody said the car won't unlock unless you have a keychain. It's like a remote sensor. Mm-hmm. You can actually... Oh, yeah, he's right. So maybe the guy... He's right.
How'd he get fan into texter. That car?
Yeah, because I don't know if it's got the key lock on the outside where you can actually put the metal part of the key in. Maybe it does. I can't remember. No?
No.
I don't think so.
There isn't.
I need to check when I go down to the garage.
So how'd he get into it?
That's a good question. That means he would have had to have had it.
Aha. Did you have anything with your home address inside the car?
Yeah, but he wouldn't be able to get in.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'll let you know how it goes. I'm hoping that whenever I call, they'll say, we're really sorry, and here, let's pay to have it fixed.
Another AutoFlex Leasing fan texter. My credit's around 445. My income is $55,000 a year. Can you put me in a car? Yes. We can. Now, it won't be a lease, but we can put you in a car that will be a good car at a payment you can afford. And we'll have a lot of, at a 455 Beacon, 445 Beacon, we'll have a number of different programs you'll be able to choose from. So, you bet, we can help.
Hey, guys, I bought an 08 Grand Cherokee last summer. Not happy with the MPG I'm getting. Payments are 311. I'd like to keep payments around the same, but I'm looking for something like a Rogue. Is that possible?
Again, it's possible.
They're inexpensive. They lease really well.
They do lease really well. And, excuse me, the 08 Rogue, I mean the 08 Jeep Grand Cherokee, they didn't get great gas mileage. They just didn't.
That's why he's getting rid of it.
Trucks and SUVs and good fuel economy don't belong in the same sentence.
Well, now, I mean, now that's changed because we've got the turbo boost and you've got a lot more efficiency. Everything gets a lot better mileage than it used
to. Right, but when I think of good fuel economy, it needs to be 30 plus.
Yeah, it's not going to be. And everything out there, well, there's a lot of stuff out there at 30 plus now.
Mm-hmm. Every photo I Googled door handles for the IS250 and there's no
I don't think
slot
there
for
is.
A key.
So that would mean he would have had to have had it to get in.
Or he left your car unlocked, but they locked themselves, I think, for a while. So.
He said that he locked it from the inside because I asked that question.
And
I said,
how to get back in?
Right. Now we're putting it together.
The plot thickens.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Our AutoFlex Leasing fan text is 43733. And you can call AutoFlex. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, in case you've forgotten over the last 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
or if you're just tuning in.
Yeah, exactly. 888-234-1234. Out of the area. You can also go to AutoFlex.com. And while you're at AutoFlex.com, like us on our Facebook page, because that's where you're going to find all of these stories, plus a whole bunch more car news from the past week. So we post that all on the Facebook page at AutoFlex.com. If you're a gearhead, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So the Consumer Electronics Expo is going on in Vegas right now. And one of the big things that we're always seeing in automotive industry is changes technology-wise. So they're debuting a few of them.
You know, it's an amazing thing because as people become more used to being connected all the time, automakers are trying to make sure that you can remain connected all the time and not have to take your hands off the wheels, a wheel and eye off the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really the desire. And they're going about it in different ways. Ford And General Motors have decided to open up their technology to app designers, and which is what iPhone did when Apple first did the iPhone. They said, hey, you app designers, get out there and get us some apps, and if they're great, we'll buy them from you.
Yeah.
And so Ford and GM has done the same thing. And so that's really sort of a different way to approach the technology thing. Mm-hmm. And it will give them it does two things. Number one, they don't have to pay for the research because the research is being done by independents.
Right.
And secondly, they get a wide variety of things from a lot of different people with great ideas.
Yeah, but don't they first need to make sure everything works properly? Because Sybil and I have both experienced the fact that Bluetooth-wise, our smartphones don't work properly.
Yeah, Siri and Bluetooth don't get along.
Right. Well, and some of the things that's coming out are that they're showing at the consumer electronics shows are cars that do work with Siri. I know that my car won't work with Siri.
Mm-hmm.
I can say, Siri, you know, find me the store, and she'll get something that's totally unrelated to that.
Yeah.
That may sort of sound like store, and we don't want to go into that. So anyway.
Please do
all
not
of a sudden
snore.
You're in a different part of Dallas.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a good deal. Mm-hmm. But anyway. But right now, I mean, the big thing is the connectivity, and the things that are coming out for your car are going to be pretty amazing. You'll be able to say Bruno Mars if you want to hear Bruno Mars. You'll be able to play different playlists saying...
You can't say Bruno Mars and he just appears?
No.
I wish. It's not
like the State Farm commercial. No. If you have playlists, you'll be able to say playlist 1, playlist 2, playlist 3.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now you can... currently we have the ability to say, take me to and give it an address or call so-and-so and it does that. But it's going to be greatly, greatly expanded.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting, all the stuff that comes up. It's things you never even thought you would need, but then once you have it, you love it.
Is there an app that keeps you from drunk dialing after midnight?
Oh, I think they do have something like that, because you can end up, there you have like this app you can download where it's got a breathalyzer in it, and if you blow over a .08, they won't let you call or... Send text messages.
That's a good idea.
Are you serious?
I'm
or
serious.
Shop online.
How necessary is that?
I could have used it a time or two. Mm-hmm.
They need to adapt that to kitchen cabinets and refrigerators too, because that's pretty much my test on how drunk I am. As I look at the trash can and found out I had an oatmeal cream pie and Dorito sandwich. That's not good.
Oh, that sounds terrible. Oh.
Okay.
There you have it. Okay.
What you decide to eat under the influence.
One of the other big things that's coming out at the CES is collision avoidance systems. And that's not a system that tells you something is going to happen that's bad. It's a system that keeps it from happening. And Lexus has come out, and if you go to Autoflex Facebook page, you'll see the car. It probably won't do well in a drive-through car wash because it's got antennas and it's
cameras
and radar stuff all over it. But the car
doesn't look like a car. It looks like a robot.
But it won't let you wreck it. I mean, if you're approaching an intersection and there's another car coming the other way and it can sense that that car's coming too fast, it'll stop you before you get to the intersection. If you're approaching an intersection and a car turns left in front of you, it will take evasive action and stop your car before it collides with the other car. Now, a lot of liability questions, because this all goes into the self-driving car thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, right now they're saying that by 2025, all the legislation will be in place to allow self-driving cars. In other words, legally, you'd be able to take a self-driving car anywhere.
Wow.
I'm in on a self-driving car.
Me too.
So all of this is moving towards self-driving cars, and they can be done a number of different ways, but the Lexus car basically uses radar and sonar and cameras to do that. Other cars use GPS and other means, but that's what everything is moving towards, is the self-driving car, which brings about some pretty interesting thing. You know, Google has got a self-driving car now, and they're testing it in California. And California has passed laws that allow you to be in a self-driving car as long as there is a human being able to take over driving that car anytime as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start looking at how big Google is, because it's worth like $205 billion or something. And you start thinking about, if they want a self-driving car, they could just buy Ford.
Yeah.
Because they're a lot bigger than Ford.
I mean, they could buy, I would think, almost any manufacturer.
Right. So then you've got Google owning a manufacturer of Ford.
Gord.
Fugle.
Fugle's better.
I like Fugle. Forgle.
That would be, yeah.
Fugled.
A force to be reckoned with.
It would be. Anyway, that's really what's coming out of CES and for cars this time around and at the Consumer Electric Show. And it's really, really pretty amazing. The technology is moving faster than the industry. That's another reason you're seeing so many of the app makers and the computing companies get involved in it, because the manufacturers of cars would have to spend $1 zillion to get that technology and to farm it themselves. But they have all these other companies that are willing to jump in there, because they're all going to be able to sell applications to hook your radio up, to hook your car up, to hook you up to everything around you, without having to take, again, your hands off the wheel and your eyes off the road. That's the key.
Yeah, but where's your brain? It's not on driving and paying attention. That's my number one concern.
Right.
We're distracted. how many times do you walk into another room and you can't remember why you went in there?
Yes.
Okay, so just imagine distracted driving.
Right.
We have a fan texter that may demonstrate a lot of what Colby was talking about. He said, so in 2025, can we drink in five? No, he said drive.
Drive.
Oh, great, see?
I guess if the car's driving, why not? You get in and we'll go through the drive-through at 2 a.m.
So if you get a DWI, you could be sentenced to a self-driving car.
Yeah.
So that you could not drive the car.
I think parents would put their teenagers in self-driving cars rather than allow, because they give teenagers driver's license, I think, so that they get off the hook of being the chauffeur.
Mm-hmm. Or what about
you're tired of driving them around.
Right.
What about your great-grandfather that still wants to drive at 89?
Oh, yeah.
Self-driving car.
He needs a self-driver.
Yeah. So there's a lot of applications out there. It makes a lot of sense. And the technology, whether we want it to or not, will be here.
Oh, this is great. I love our Autoflex fan texters. Can't wait to drive a Fugle Focus. I love it.
I do wonder, though, with the self-driving cars, do you have to actually be in the car? I mean, what if you just start it and then send it to the store for you?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Maybe you park at North Park and you're out way, way out there.
Oh,
and it's raining.
Yeah.
What's that going to do to valet services?
Oh, yes.
Oh, the valet services that lose keys will be out of business.
That's right. Ha ha.
I would feel like Batman being able to call the Batmobile to me. That would be great.
That is really what we're talking about here, is the ability, though. And there's a lot of cars, like Hyundai right now is working on technology that you'll be able to control a lot of your car from your smartphone. You can lock it, unlock it, start it to warm it up and that kind of thing, which is important in the colder states.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of technology that's moving toward that. Now, like I say, if it's raining, you have your car come to you.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Me too.
I just wonder, you know how in front seats right now, sometimes the seatbelt thing will go off if you have something heavy in the front seat. When my dog's in the front seat, right, the seatbelt button dings because the weight shows that somebody's sitting in there. Yeah. So I wonder if the car is going to have something like that, like where it won't move if there's not 40 pounds in the front seat because it knows there's nobody really operating it.
Well, in California, that would have to be the case right now because you can't have a self-driving car without a driver in it. So,
right.
Yeah, probably. and our same texter that texted in about drinking and fiving has now texted in and says, give me a break. I'm texting and fiving. Great.
Funny.
Great. Well, I just hope that you're around next week to text some more, so just be careful while you're doing that.
Right. All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby Wong Kenobi, as the Autoflex Leasing fan texters are calling him, and me, Sybil. Our number here, 877-881-1053. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And Autoflex is open. Pre-owned car sale going on right now. If you want to call, what are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area. And autoflex.com on the World Wide Web.
Did you just have another stroke on the air?
Yeah, a little mini stroke, I think.
Earlier, he went 888-234, and then he went on. And so I thought, is he going to do it again? And he just almost did it.
Almost. All right, so everybody dreads getting pulled over by the police whenever you're driving. And
Worst feeling in the world.
Look I up, like it as a red challenge. White lights.
Yes.
I look at it as a challenge. It's a challenge.
Really? The worst thing is when they turn their lights on when they're behind you and you're like, oh God, I'm getting pulled over. And so you get over to the right lane and then they get behind somebody else and you're like, whoo.
Yeah.
But then you're so mad that you got stressed for a couple of seconds there.
Well, and sometimes you don't even know why. But when,
it's happened.
When you see those lights back there, the first thing you think is they're after you.
Yes.
I mean, that's the first thing. So very guiltily, they'll start pulling over to the right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
No, not me. I think I need to pull over so they can get around me. Like that time in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I need to pull over so they can go get the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
What did I do wrong? I'm only driving like 10 miles an hour.
Right.
That was the problem. He thought I was doing something wrong.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, we've got some wonderful stories. You know, I know we have a lot of police officers that listen to the show every Saturday, and we appreciate you. We appreciate what you guys do for us. And there's a long list we found on the internet of stories that people tell policemen when they are pulled over for traffic stops. Yeah. And some of them are pretty unbelievable. I like the one about the guy that was pulled over because he was speeding, and he said, is there a reason you were speeding? And he says, well, I'm actually late. I have a presentation to give, and I was in a hurry. And he goes, what is the presentation? And the guy goes, I'm a specialist in time management. He got a warning.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it actually worked. That is good.
I like the one about the lady that was stopped when coming down the other side of an overpass, and he pulled her over and he says, ma'am, do you realize you were speeding? And she goes, of course I am. She said, I was coming off an overpass. It's gravity. You can't help it.
That she is kind of a good one.
She got a ticket.
How about the exotic dancer that got pulled over for not wearing her seatbelt?
She said it
pinched her performance rings and hurt.
What are performance rings?
I don't know.
Oh. I can see how that would be painful.
The judge and the police officer both said they did not need to see the evidence.
Probably offered it, though, to try to get out of the ticket.
I like the one about the guy that was pulled over for running a red light. He said he had new contact lenses, and he couldn't tell the difference between red and green. They made red look green and green look red.
That's a good one, because they were color contacts.
He got off with a warning.
Nice.
Yeah.
These are all unbelievable, but it is nice that the officers go, okay, you tried. At least you gave me something creative.
Well, here's a good one. So one guy got pulled over for going 80 miles per hour in a 55, and the man said that a bee had been buzzing around his head, so he sped up in hopes the bee couldn't fly that fast.
And he'd
go to the back seat. Yeah, he got a ticket.
Well, mm-hmm. and there's another story about a lady that ran a red light. She didn't even slow down, just blew straight through, and of course the officer pulled her over. And he said, why would you do that? And she said, I just had the brakes replaced on my car. They are very, very expensive. I'm just telling you. And I'm not wearing them out.
That's good. I'm with her on that.
She got a ticket.
Oh. Dang it. But that one, to me, I wouldn't want to wear them down either. You just paid all that money.
All right. Moving along from the traffic area. Let's talk about, has anybody seen Gangster Squad yet?
No.
The new movie?
Uh-uh.
It is full of great old cars because it was set in the 30s and the 40s. So they have had to come up with over 100 vehicles to use to film this movie.
Vintage cars.
And they can't really CG vintage cars. You've got to have vintage cars. Where do you go to come up with 100 vintage cars? Guess what? You go to collectors. There are a lot of people. In fact, there's a fellow that lives in Richardson that has a large collection of vintage automobiles, 36 Cadillac convertibles, anything you might imagine he's got. And he uses those, or he rents those to movie production houses to make movies with, and also to shoot calendars, which I thought was pretty interesting. You know, you see all the calendars with the old cars.
Right.
They got to get them somewhere to take those pictures. And there are people in the business that own those cars, and they rent those cars. The general rate is about $300 a day to rent your 1940 Cadillac to a movie production house. And interestingly enough, when they do these movies and use these cars, the owners of the cars, they're in the movies because they won't let anybody drive them. Because that's
either.
Their babies.
I can see that.
So when you see these cars being driven, unless the star is behind the wheel, more than likely the guy behind the wheel is the guy that actually owns that car. And the other thing is no wrecks allowed.
Right.
Whenever you see them wreck, what appears to be a vintage car. It is a vintage car, but it's one they bought out of a junkyard. And they made look like, most of them don't even run, but they use them to do the wrecks. And if they're going to shoot one up,
they're probably being towed by a truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They don't blow holes in those beautiful, beautiful vintage restored cars. They use CG, actually, to make those bullet holes in the cars. Or if they're going to blow up a window, that's all CG. That's
or
not the real thing.
Or those stickers that you see on the cars going down the road.
Well, how about that Scion this morning? There was a Scion driving across about four lanes of traffic to hit an exit. He evidently at last second realized
driving or diving.
It's worth my life to get off at Mockingbird. So he goes diving across. He's driving a Scion, and you know those ports that the Buick Roadmasters had in the 50s, those three holes on the hood of the car. Well, he's got a Scion. It's got those three ports on the front. He's diving across traffic like a madman to get to the Mockingbird exit. And I thought, I thought that was a Roadmaster. I was totally fooled.
Oh, people with your cars, you silly folks.
Anyway, I want to go see the Gangster Show. I mean, Gangster Squad, just because I want to see the cars.
Right, exactly.
I think it's going to be a great show, but the cars are going to be fabulous.
And I want to see it for Ryan Gosling.
You're such a girl.
I know.
Who is he?
He was in The Notebook.
He's been in a lot of things.
Yeah, he has.
Whatever. Listen, and you say you'd be with those cars. People identify. That's an extension of your personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's your identity. So many people. Being in the car business, it is a huge decision. It's a huge deal, people just making a decision about their car because it's how they express themselves.
Right.
It is.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Their personalities come out on the road.
Yeah, like
a lot of times.
When people drive real bright colors, it's because they want to be noticed.
Exactly. Or sports something. Cars.
Yeah.
People's cars says a lot about them.
I think so.
It does. It does. And Congress has a lot to say about where we're driving those cars and how they tax us now.
Mm.
New story coming out of Washington. The government auditors say Congress should institute a pilot program to test taxing per mile traveled. Now, what does that mean? That means if you live in Denton and work in Dallas, it may be darned expensive for you to drive to work.
Yikes.
Yeah. They haven't really raised the tax on gasoline since 1993.
But they're talking about that too.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they started the first tax on gas was I think in 1956 and they raised it regularly until 1993 and then they stopped raising it. And they haven't raised it since then, so it's the other thing is here's the unintended consequences. We're all driving much more efficient cars. We're buying less gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
The government gets less tax. Mm. They don't have as much money to fix the roads with. So how do they make up for the tax? Maybe a tax per mile. That's what they're thinking. And, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. They've mandated that all cars have black boxes installed.
Right.
Does that become part of the scheme in order to tax us for the miles driven?
How are they going to tax us?
Well, per mile.
How are they going to do it?
They haven't said that. They've just said they need to do a study. Anytime they say they need to do a study, well, number one, that costs money. And
where's
number
that
two,
money going to come from?
Yeah, number two, it's going to cost us money eventually, but they want to do a study on taxing per mile. Now, the simplest thing would probably be to raise the gasoline tax.
Exactly.
By right of inflation, they should raise it anyway, since it hasn't been raised since 1993, and our dollar has inflated a great deal since then.
Well, and that makes the most sense in this way. If you're using more gas, that means you're driving more miles. Done. Study done. Thank you. I'll take my $10 million from the U.S. government.
$10 million won't touch that study.
Ugh.
Yikes.
I mean, isn't it that simple? Let me know. Text in.
You would think.
I mean, the more gas you use, the more miles you drove.
Well, it would. But the other thing is, then that means that people that drive hybrids and electrics aren't paying their fair share because they don't use any gas.
How smart for them.
Well, I'm just saying.
And they get a tax break.
But the government.
Well, that was the government shooting themselves in the foot.
Again, the government.
They're the ones that
wanted
this.
Government wants to make. Ow, that hurts. The government wants to make sure that everyone pays. And so the only way they can
Wait a minute. They're not doing that now.
The only way they can tax those electric cars is to tax the mileage. They can't tax the gasoline.
Ugh.
We all should pay.
Look, you ruined my weekend just by bringing up the government. Let's get back to cars.
So they're thinking of doing black boxes as a way to gauge your mileage?
Well, it's a possibility. They don't do that right now, but that's a possibility. They certainly could.
Maybe when we go in and get our state inspection.
I mean, there's
they do our miles then.
Yeah, but then that's open to some fraud. Probably not much, but some.
Right. All right. Well, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby, and me, Sib. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. If you have a question, you still have time to get in. Maybe you are comparing a couple cars and you need some advice. Feel free to shoot us a text. As always, you can call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. And you can always go to autoflex.com, and that's where you can see some of the great pre-owned cars we have on sale right now in Arlington or in Richardson. You know, we have a location on I-20. Just west of the Parks Mall in Arlington, and we have a location on Central Expressway in Richardson, just south of Beltline Road. And both of those locations have a bunch of great pre-owned cars. And we're not talking about 4- and 5- and 6-year-old cars. We're talking about 1- and 2- and 3-year-old cars that someone else has taken the big hit on. And, of course, because we lease all makes and models, we have all makes and models available to you. So if you're thinking about a Nissan or a Ford or a Toyota, we will have all of those cars, a lot of great lease returns at those two locations.
Talking about 1- or 2- or 3-year-old cars, there's even like a 2-month-old car with the 2013 or a 2-week-old car, 2013 Honda Accord.
Yeah, actually that car is 3 months old. Yeah.
It's a baby.
It is. You still have to change its diapers.
Still gets formula.
Do y'all have Volts available?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. There's a big controversy going on right now with General Motors and some of their Chevrolet dealers, because GM has mandated that the dealers that sell Volts have to buy $5,100 worth of equipment in order to separate the sections of the Volt battery, so that if the battery fails and it has to be warrantied out, they don't have to ship the whole, because usually the whole battery doesn't fail. It'll just be one section of it. This tool helps them take that section out, so they don't have to mail the whole battery.
It's $5,000?
Well, yeah. The tool's actually $4,100 and some change, but the D-Volt, the D-Charger goes with it, and you're up to $5,100 when you got the D-Charger and the tool. So here's the interesting part. The small dealers don't like it, because for a small dealer, $5,100 is a tremendous amount of money for one tool that you're going to only use very, very seldom. And they're not known for the batteries going out. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, you would need this tool. Why would they have to buy it?
Yeah, you would think they would just provide it for the manufacturers who sell their cars.
Well, they're not big on that either. They make the dealers buy a lot of tools to service those cars.
They should ship that thing around as needed.
Exactly. Yeah. They could have a stock of them. But here's the other thing.
Dumb.
If they force the dealers to buy the tool, or they can't sell Volt, then they centralize their Volt sales at their larger dealers. And the smaller dealers aren't happy about that at all. They don't feel like it's fair. And it didn't take them long to think of the idea of they could mail us that tool, and we could ship it back to them when we were finished. And that certainly wouldn't cost $5,100. And considering it's not something we're going to use every day, that would be the wisest way to do that. But GM, in fact, may want to centralize those Volt sales to those larger dealers. And it works. There's several things that manufacturers do.
Which means Volt repairs go to the larger dealers,
exactly,
too, which means nobody in small towns or around the small dealers are going to buy your cars. Dumb.
Doesn't seem fair.
Well, it's less convenient for the customer, but it costs General Motors a lot less, you know? So there you have it.
There you have it.
No, I think a bunch of the small dealers should band together and buy one of those things together and share it.
Done. That's a good one.
There you go. Co-op.
Speaking of repairs, let's talk about taking your car to the body shop.
Something everyone hates to do.
Yes. Well,
sure.
Nobody ever wants to have a car go to the... It's never a happy occasion.
No.
No.
No,
ever.
And you're always thinking that they're going to try to pull one over on you. That they're going to say, oh, well, while I was under your hood, I noticed you also need a new blank.
Well, and that happens on the service side, that happens a lot. But on the body side, what you really have to worry about is, are they actually doing what they told you they were going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're looking at a fender and it has a dent in it, and it has to be replaced or repaired, the part cost a bunch. It may be a lot cheaper and quicker to paint it, to fix it, repair it, and paint it than to replace it. But if they got paid to replace it, they should replace it. And that's right. where the rub comes. You mm-hmm. put your car in the shop. They say it needs a new fender. You come back. It's all painted. It's all pretty. You can't tell the difference. But guess what? They didn't buy the part. They just fixed the old one. And once the paint's on there, you can't really tell the difference.
That is shady.
It is shady. So what do you do? Because it's difficult to know who's going to do that and who's not. And there are great repair shops. And, of course, there are repair shops that aren't so great. So when you think about this, it's a two-part situation because – on one side, you have an estimate of repairs, and that is the parts that need to be replaced, the parts that need to be painted, the parts that need to be repaired, and how much that's going to cost. On the other side is a repair order, and it states that they have certain obligations, that they won't go over a certain cost, or they will, and before they let you know, and they have a right to either continue with repairs without letting you know or to let you know up front if they need additional repairs. So you've really got to look at the whole situation. One of the first things I would do is check the reputation of the shops online. You know, we have Autoflex has ratings online. We're rated at Dealer Rater. We have over 200 ratings at Dealer Rater, Google, a lot of the different rating services. And you can do the same thing with a body shop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to – your car is – if they don't fix it right, it really, really can negatively affect the value of the car. So you want to choose a good shop. Go online and check those ratings. Secondly, when you get there, look around. If they're working on a dirt floor – go somewhere else. I mean, you want to shop, and there's some great independent shops, and there's some great men. But I was in this business for years. There's great dealership shops, and there's some that you probably wouldn't want to take your car to. And there's great independent shops, and there's some that you wouldn't want to take your car to. So you got to look around and get a feel for the place. Is the guy you're talking to fluent? Do you believe that he can, if there's insurance involved, and we'll talk about that in a second, but if there's insurance involved, will he be able to deal with your insurance company? Does he work for you or does he work for the insurance company? How do you know? If it's a recommended shop, he works for the insurance company. If it's not a recommended shop, he is your advocate. Now, again, insurance recommended shops are a two-sided sword, basically, because they guarantee the work done. The insurance company guarantees the work done by the shop. But at the same time, the shop is beholden to the insurance company for sending them business. So if the insurance company asks them to cut corners and repair it a cheaper way,
yep.
that's what the shop's going to do. So it's a little complicated there, but you have preferred shops, which are the shops that the insurance companies send their business to, and they control the repairs there. And then you have just regular shops, which the estimator there becomes your advocate, and he protects your interest and doesn't let the insurance company cut corners. And I've done that job. And they're just like insurance companies, there are good shops and there are bad shops. So you have to determine whether it's a preferred shop. If your insurance company wants to send you to a shop, then you really, really need to check it out because their shop may be fine. But again, the relationship there might not work in your behalf.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you get the car in the shop. It's underway. They find additional damage. Make sure you tell them they have to notify you and that you want a revised estimate and you want a revised repair order showing everything else that they're doing, how much it cost, what's being replaced, what's being repaired, what's being painted, and they have to give you that before they go ahead. Any shop you ask to do that that's a reputable shop will do it.
Right.
I mean, it's just simple as that. But you have to protect yourself all the way around. If you have a problem, first of all, notify your insurance company if they paid for the repairs, because they then become your advocate in getting the car repaired properly if the door doesn't align, if the hood is not the right color, if something is vibrating that shouldn't, that kind of thing. So you notify your insurance company first. You notify the shop, and you say, hey, I've got this problem. Here's what it is, and give them a chance to straighten it out. Most of the time, they're going to get it fixed for you. But if they don't, then you have state regulatory agencies that govern the licensing of that shop, and that would be the next thing I would do would be contact one of the regulatory agencies or if the shop is part of a franchise dealership, contact the general manager at the dealership and let him know about it and then move forward in that. The very last thing you need to do probably ever is call a lawyer, but if it ever gets so bad that you can't fix it any other way, contact an attorney.
So there the bottom line you're saying is never assume anything.
No.
I learned about assume in the Bad News Bears movie when I was very young. Remember that?
When you assume, mm-hmm. you make a blank out of you and me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, seriously,
yeah.
Don't assume. Communicate and find out everything up front, because when you don't, you'll find out they had a different perception than you did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and finally, it's come to this. The United States Department of Transportation has announced a proposal for minimum sound requirements on hybrid and electric vehicles.
You know, we talked about this a long time ago, the fact that they were completely quiet.
Right.
And people who are handicapped and maybe can't see wouldn't know the car is approaching.
Exactly, visually impaired people. So now they are they're working on a mandate so that electric cars and hybrids will make noise when their engines don't. That's a great George Jetson.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. You know, some of the, and when you read these stories, the notes the people write afterwards tend to be sometimes better than the story. The first suggestion was that the writer thought that they should use the movie theme from Jaws. So when they pulled up to a stop sign, it would sound like Jaws.
Because that's impending danger.
Right.
Makes sense. Somebody else voted for the TIE fighter flying sound. Simple and consistent.
What's that?
Well, it's kind of it's kind of a combination. Somebody came up with it for a movie, but I didn't pull that up, but you can Google it. I personally thought that possibly, since it's government mandated and we wouldn't have electric vehicles if it weren't for our government, that maybe we should have...
Maybe you should have what?
Ah!
That would be for the vault.
Gotcha.
That was my choice.
I like it. I feel regal pulling up somewhere with this music playing.
And we thought about a lot of other things too, because if you've got a Prius and it sounded like a Lamborghini, it might be a lot cooler.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot. Or a Ferrari.
But the bottom line is bicycles haven't been required to produce a sound.
Yeah, but a bicycle won't do nearly as much damage.
They don't
as
run
a,
over people.
Well, right, a car will.
But some people think it's ridiculous and stupid to have to do this. You know, one of the benefits of the car is that it's a near silent vehicle.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that's the strangest thing in the world, is when you get in that car the first time and start it, because it doesn't start.
Yeah.
The only thing that happens is the lights on the dash light up, just like you turned the key on but hadn't started the car yet. And so then you just keep pushing that silly button, waiting for the sound.
Back in the 90s, the Toyota Cressida, when they came out with the Toyota Cressida, which was right before Lexus, I think. That was their little entry, their foray into luxury cars. I took that car to a Sonic and forgot that I had left it running while I ordered my cherry limeade and tried to restart the car. It was so quiet.
How crazying would it be if it did sound like Hail to the Chief and there was like three cars parked in the same spot?
That would blow your mind if you were a blind person standing on the corner waiting to cross.
There's a parade.
Yes.
Well, in Tammy's idea, her other idea of the sound, what should a car sound like? You said it should sound like the ice cream truck.
Yes.
Because everyone knows what that is.
Yes. I love that.
Every kid stops playing video games when a car passes by.
They all go running. Hey, they get it.
They get their exercise.
Get their exercise.
That's right.
Outside with the ice cream.
All right. We are out of time for today, but we'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. In the meantime, if you want to take advantage of the pre-owned car sale, call AutoFlex 817 or 972-234-1234. Thanks to Kolb's Kansy Masterpiece. Coming up next, for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.